Amen. Yes, thank you, Salvador. Thank you, Pastor Danny, for the opportunity. Yeah, I'm from originally from Brazil. My friend, let me introduce you guys to them. Chris Dickerson, stand up, man, please. He's a man of God. His parents were missionaries in Brazil for 40 years, pioneers in the south of Brazil. We've been going on to the nations together for maybe 8 years, 9 years together. And then Paulo's Mendes, is also from Brazil. He's a good-looking guy, as you can see. From Brazil. We got to know. First time we went out to the nations together was in Nigeria, and we shared the bed together in some sort of hotel, and we're actually bragging of how comfortable our trips are now compared to when he began. So, Paulo. And then my good friend Guilherme Freitas, also from Brazil, originally from Brazil. He lives in California, and he's been going on with me to the nations for 10 years now. 10 years. First time we got together to go to Niger in 2009, and it's a story in its own. But I'm originally also from Brazil, but I sure got to Texas as soon as I could. You know, I have lived in Hawaii, graduated from high school in Hawaii. That's why we ended up going there to serve, have a good group, a community there that I love. Then went on to school in Georgia, went on to school in Tennessee, and then I got to Texas. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's something they say about Texas. You know, if you're a grassroots Texan, you really believe that Texas is not part of the United States, you know. And so, you know, I like to say that I'm now from Texas. And you know what they say in Texas about Jesus, right? You know, my friends have heard that already. They say that Jesus was only born in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, in Israel, because he had to fulfill biblical prophecy, because if he could actually choose, he would be born in Texas. So with all that said, I really wanted to thank you guys for the opportunity to be here, to share with you and share our faith. We have a common faith, and this faith is powerful. I've been to Africa, 9 different countries in Africa. I have actually traveled more in Africa than I have traveled in my own birth country, Brazil. Let me introduce my family first. I'm married, I have 3 kids, and my wife sends her greetings. She's from Georgia, but she would love to be here, and hopefully in the future she'll be here as well. Amen. So I had to introduce my wife while here later. So, but we share the same faith. And we share the faith in Christ. And it's a powerful, powerful witness. And I was saying, I've been to 9 different African countries. I have actually traveled in Africa more than I have traveled in my home country, Brazil. And, you know, you experience the diversity of the body of Christ around the globe. And the Great Commission is amazing. In fact, I could not let this opportunity go by of me being in Jerusalem and standing in a church. In a Christ church, in this land, is such an honor, is such a privilege. I cannot express to you in words what I'm feeling inside of me right now. You know, I want to just keep the being shy phase and just go at it. But I want to honor you. Thank you so much for that opportunity. This is a special day for me. I will never forget that the day I actually stood in front of a body of believers. In the Holy Land. This will be marked in my life forever. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. I couldn't miss the opportunity to stand here before you and not read to you from Isaiah 56. Let me tell you, I did not plan this. I came here and asked the Lord, speak with me so I can speak to your people. And he said, Isaiah 56. I want to share this with you real quick. Then I have some stories to share with you of my experiences. Perhaps it will encourage you and strengthen your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is what Isaiah 56 reads. And if you believe that God only speaks to the King James Version, you have to excuse me because I have New Living Translation today. Amen? Praise God. This is what it reads. Blessings for all nations. We are in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Be just and be fair to all, says the Lord. Do what is right and good, for I am coming soon to rescue you. Blessed are those who are careful to do this. Blessed are those who honor my Sabbath, days of rest, by refusing to work. And blessed are those who keep themselves from doing wrong. And my blessing for all Gentiles too, when they commit themselves to the Lord. Do not let them think that I consider them second-class citizens. And my blessings are also for the eunuchs. They are as much mine as anyone else. For I say this to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy, who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. I will give them in my house within my walls a memorial and a name far greater than the honor they would have received by having sons and daughters. For the name I give them is an everlasting one. It will never disappear. I will also bless the Gentiles who commit themselves to the Lord and serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who have accepted his covenant. I will bring them also to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will find them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. For the sovereign Lord who brings back the outcasts of Israel says, I will bring others too besides my people Israel. Praise God. Give Jesus a hand of applause because, amen. This is a prophetic word from the prophet that goes on, is living on, is being fulfilled even today as we stand here together, that he will bring people from all nations together. I don't even know how many nations are represented here, but I know for sure Texas is represented here. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know Brazilians are here. I know Americans are here. I know that who else is here? Australia. Amen. You know? This is going on. This is being fulfilled right now as we gather. Does that not make you excited? I don't know about you, but I get excited. Because I serve a living God that have made and revealed himself real to me. And you know what? I had something else here prepared. And then Salvador came up here and talked about Mark 15. And I'm like, oh man, I have to go back there. I had something else here. I even marked my New Living Translation Bible, which God will forgive y'all for not having King James Version here. But I marked it here, but I think I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Mark 15. Because you know what? This is a promise that lives on for us as believers today. And lives on not just for us who are going on to the nations, but you are in the nations. You are at the birth of this calling. You are at the very site where all this began. You are at the very site where all the power that's within the gospel of Jesus Christ have begun. This is amazing. My friends and I, we stood yesterday at the place where the Last Supper happened. No, we stood yesterday at the place where Jesus walked. We walked those roads. We walked the roads that the disciples walked. We've seen it. And for you, it's coming already. But I tell you, for anybody else that comes from outside and get to see these things and connect with what they read and connect with their faith, this inspires them. And I'm telling you, I am inspired to be a believer in Jesus Christ by being here today with you. And I hope you get to share on that inspiration. Because that's my passion. That's my goal here right now. If you could join me on Mark 15, 16 to the 18. And I'm just going to go real quick over it. And I'm going to share some stories. Because that was not my plan. But Salvador pointed me that way. He introduced me, so I have to go that way. Mark 15, 16. And he reads right there that Mark 16, 15 to the 18, sorry. Yeah. And it says, and he told to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Those signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them at all. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal the sick. Let me just begin by saying, do not play with snakes. I do not recommend that. You can get hurt. But what that actually says is that, you know, you remember when Paul stepped in the island of Sicily? I know if I'm not wrong. Malta, here we go. I can't say that, right? He stood there and he's messing up with sticks with wood, and a snake bites him. And then obviously the people were amazed because they all expected him to die, and he doesn't. So pretty much what that says is when you're on a mission, when God commissioned you to do something for his name and his honor, for his kingdom, the power of the kingdom that you go representing goes behind you. And the power of the kingdom is able to reverse the natural orders of this world. Just like the prophets of the old days, they would reverse the order of rivers. They would open the rain in the sea. They would walk in the authority, the power of God. To this day, those who believe in Jesus Christ and go by faith, obeying the Great Commission, they are assigned with the power that comes from heaven, with the very power that those prophets walked. And I'm here to testify to you that the promise of the Great Commission is real. It's true. I have been to 27 different countries with the purpose of speaking and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have been to 27 countries of this world and all continents of the world, and I am a living witness to you that the promise of the Great Commission is real. I have seen amazing things because of the power and the name of Jesus Christ, the one why we gather here today. I have seen blind people see in India. I have seen blind people come back to see again in Hawaii just recently. We have seen people with tumors being healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We've seen people, I've met a girl who was dead and she was back to life in Niger, West Africa. I have seen dozens of people being set from demons in different parts of the world, all different parts of the world. And you know what? It's normal. It's normal. Why is it normal? It's normal for a believer to face those battle powers and come out victorious in it, because in Jesus Christ we already have the victory. And he is the author, he is the owner of that power. And I'm here just to encourage you to say that whatever battle that you're going through today in your life, here, whatever, when whatever you're doing, you know what? You have already conquered that battle in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever that is that you're facing. But we have to understand and recognize one thing. As believers, when we stand in the authority of the Word of God and we walk on those streets in the marketplace representing the kingdom that's coming, that's promised, that's coming and is already in this world and is just waiting for the fulfillment and return of its king to be established once and for all in this earth. When we walk on the streets in the marketplace representing this kingdom, the power of the kingdom goes with you. And Paul said that the Bible says that the kingdom is being expanded by force. In other words, when you're going, you are actually invading enemy territory. This is where I'm speaking in the spiritual realm. You're invading enemy territory. And of course, when you invade enemy territory, you are going to find resistance. You are going to find and you will encounter battles. And you know what? What a privilege it is to represent a kingdom that is in expansion. I want to encourage you, consider yourself privileged when you face many types of persecutions here in Jerusalem. Consider yourself privileged when you face persecution in the marketplace, in whatever you do, wherever you live, because you're probably going on to different places on the world from here. Consider it a privilege, because it is a privilege to be persecuted. It is a privilege to face a spiritual resistance. It is a privilege to walk with Jesus. And this privilege cannot be kept for yourself. The privilege to be a follower of Jesus Christ needs to be shared for the whole world to see. Sometimes the world, in my case, God called me to the nations. I have been to 27. I have at least 60 more to go. I am called, and you are called too. The body of Christ is not made of just the nail. The body of Christ is made of the nail, the hair, the nose, and every other part. We must work together and we must take our portion in the Great Commission. It's a privilege. And the only ones who can take on this privilege is us. There's no other ones in this world called to go into other nations and share this gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful and so important because it speaks of the resurrection from the dead. It's so important and so powerful because Jesus is the first man to defeat death and come back to life. In fact, when you read the Gospels, Paul especially, and the apostles, they speak of the gospel emphasizing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is amazing. And this is the privilege that we get to experience, all of us who believe, one day. But not only that, I have seen with my own eyes people who have experienced this power as a down payment as to what is to happen. I have seen a little girl in Niger who came back to life after the missionary picked her up in his base, and she was brought dead. And Guilherme has actually been with me in that mission base in Niger. She was brought to the mission base dead, and the missionary did not know what to do but just pray. And when he prayed, she started to breathe again. This is the power of Jesus Christ that we serve. And why are we skeptical about accepting this power that is available to all of us? Sometimes in the body of Christ, we find resistance against believing in those facts. Why? I don't know. Maybe because we're just men. Because we struggle with the flesh. Paul said that. You know, what I try to do, I don't. But what I don't, I keep on doing. Because we're human beings. But God, in His grace, He loves us. He loves us. He's made a way for us. We have a way to Him and direct contact with Him. We don't even have to, I mean, as a believer, sitting right there, you can speak with Him and He will speak to you. Many times the Lord has done that. To me, I'm sure He does it to you. Why not take on upon ourselves the right we have as believers? Whatever face, whatever battle that you're facing right now, how do you become victorious over it? You stand on the authority of the word of truth. And the authority of the word of truth is Jesus Christ Himself and every word that came out of His mouth, every word that came out from the Bible. He is the authority and He is your truth. So whatever you're facing, maybe you're facing some sickness that the doctors have not given you a way out. Maybe a family member is facing some sickness that a doctor is not giving you out. That sounds like a mountain that you cannot overcome, but Jesus can. Well, isn't He going to overcome and conceal and establish everything at the time when He returns? Yes, He will. But He is with us today. Because in Hebrews, He says that He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I have an interesting story that I actually experienced in Haiti. And our friend just read from the sorcerer that was interested in the power of Christ working through the apostles, right? And I told my friend, I'm going to share that story in Haiti. He was there. We were working in Haiti, and many miracles were following. We're just going, arriving at different villages and playing soccer with them and preaching the gospel. And God was working miracles through us and healing sick people. Tumors were disappearing out of people's mouth. I shared this story in Hawaii recently. Salvador got to hear it. And we got to see, like, tumors of the size of a golf ball disappear out of a person's mouth in a matter of 10 hours. I could share this testimony another time. But I want to share this story of the witch, because he shared that amazing story from Paul. Well, we were working with soccer in the villages and in the tent city, and we had this witch going with us. In Haiti, witchcraft is a religion, it's a faith, just like many religions in the world. People believe it, and people live it, and people practice that religion. Witchcraft embraces about 55% of the population, the belief in Haiti, and then 45% the other religions and all that. Even Christianity mixing a little bit. So much less to say, we do cast a lot of demons in Haiti. But we were working in Haiti, and suddenly this witch started following us. He went to the services, the revival services that we're having, and he saw people being healed, and he saw people being set free of demons, which is normal. I mean, you read the Gospels, you see that it happens. You read Jesus walking in the streets of Israel, Jerusalem, and throughout the land, you see Jesus setting people free. So it is part of the gospel. So don't think it is not for today. It is for today. When you see the ministry of Jesus, you see three basic things. Him proclaiming the kingdom, Himself as the Messiah, as the promised one. You see him healing sick people, raising dead people to life. You see him working signs and wonders, because those are endowments for the kingdom to come. And you see him casting lots of demons and disciples too. But this was happening in Haiti, right? And this witch started following us, walking with us, went to the revivals, saw everything. So we went to the soccer fields by the tent cities. If you don't know what the tent cities are, after the earthquake that killed about 6,000 people in 2010, the United Nations provided tents for the people, and they made villages of tents because the entire portions of the city of Port-au-Prince were destroyed. And we got there maybe 9 months after that, and there were still crumbles everywhere. And this is the scenario where we're working. And we're playing soccer with the village, and we set up these games, and people are coming in masses. And it's attracting people, and we're sharing the good news. And then we start walking up this hill, and this witch is walking with us. And we're talking about the goodness of God. We're talking about the power of God. And here I'm here. My friend Chris is on my left side, and this young man who proclaimed himself a witch. I'm not entitling him. That's what he said that he was. And he is walking up the hill with us, and we're talking about the power of God. And then somehow the conversation goes, and he says, and I tell him that God is powerful to do anything. And he says, well, I have powers too. I have done amazing things that you guys are doing all these things here would not believe. And I said, wow, really? Tell me one of them. And he says, well, one time I was in the Dominican Republic, and I was doing what I shouldn't do, which I probably will not tell you, shouldn't tell you. And he got in trouble, and he made himself disappear and appear somewhere else. I was like, oh, really? That's amazing. That's actually in the Bible, you know. You, whatever you're serving, whoever you're serving, copy that from the Bible, because that happened in the Bible too. And he's like, really? So, yeah. I said, you know what? Why don't you try doing it right now? And then he like, right now? I said, yeah, why don't you try doing it right now? And I said, if you do it right now, you go, disappear yourself, appear somewhere else, and I'll ask God to send an angel to bring you back. And he's like, nah, you can't do that. You guys don't have power to do that. I said, I don't. But the God I serve has much power to do that. As a matter of fact, just look back and see the angel that's walking behind us. So this is the scenario. Why I'm sharing this with you? Because it's real. Our sister shared about the angel that appeared before the donkey there. And I learned yesterday that the Jews believe that when you enter the Holy Land, you actually get another angel assigned to you, right? And that's cool, because you know I know I have some angels that go with me, because that witch doctor, this is what happened. Eyes become like this big. He becomes real quiet. And out of a sudden, all the bragging that was going on for the last 10 minutes is over with. Why am I saying this to you? We walk in power. We have mighty angels of the living God that go with us wherever we go. And if we just give him something to do, signs and wonders will follow your work. If you just give him something to do, power will manifest to whatever you do. Not because you have power from heaven. No. is because of the Son of God who lives inside of you and is working through you, through whatever you do, be in the marketplace, the grace of God is standing out to you to serve Him and help extend His kingdom on earth. We serve a living God. Let me ask you, does that not make you excited to believe? Does that not make you inspired to believe? Oh, I cannot deny the things I've seen. You see, you can't argue theology with me, no problem. You can't discuss theology with me, no problem. And you know what? You'd probably be right, because I'm probably not there good at discussing theology anyway. But one thing that you cannot argue with me is the experiences I have. The experiences I have, they speak this Bible back to me. I read them, but then when I look back at my walk with the Son of God, my walk with the Messiah, I can see that His word is true. I can see that His promises are true. And I believe that He's coming back. And I'm just here to tell you, He is coming back. His kingdom is already on earth. He's just waiting for its completion to be done according to Scripture. But I'm telling you, when He comes, He is coming for good. Right now, we live in the era where we have the opportunity to share this love to people. We have the opportunity to share that there is a way to God, and that is to all nations. We have an opportunity, not an opportunity. It is a privilege. It is a privilege that unfortunately the body of Christ sometimes is missing on this privilege because we're trying to live a religion that is being put out there for us. But really, let me tell you this. Our faith is not a religion. Our faith is a relationship. And when you walk with Jesus, He will teach you. He will inspire you. And He will send you to places that you never believed you'd be one day. I've never left home. Any day in my life that I will be in Jerusalem. Never. I come from a lower class family in Brazil. Middle low class. For me, the odds of me stepping out of my neighborhood were minimal. But I know that God has a design, a destiny for all of us. I didn't even know Jesus. I didn't even walk with Him. One day I was at the bus stop waiting for my bus to go to school in Brazil. And I'm sitting there waiting for the bus. The bus would do some sort of loop around the neighborhood. And I saw the bus going down. And I saw that bus. And for some reason, the thought came to my mind. One day, I'm going to go to different countries. I'm like, that thought came to my mind. And immediately, I washed it off. Because I knew where I was from. I knew my reality. I knew my circumstances. I knew that by the might of man, that was impossible. I knew it. I didn't even know God. I wasn't a believer. I became a believer in the United States. But to that point, I hadn't even left my neighborhood. But God had a promise and a design for my life. I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy the call. I haven't done anything to deserve it. But His grace, He's good. His grace reaches us where we are and gives us a reason to live, gives us a purpose to continue. Sometimes we lose sight of it, and we are believers. We are in a place like this, and we begin to struggle with our purpose. We begin to struggle with our mission in life. And we forget that in His word, He gave us a mission. He gave us a purpose to live for. And it is exciting. And we begin to struggle with meaning and purpose. Let me tell you, but right before you is a young boy. I'm not that young today anymore, but I was one day. He's a dude that came from a lower middle class in Brazil whose odd was probably to just become another one out there struggling to find a job. Today, I have the job of all jobs. I am an ambassador of the kingdom. And let me just remind you, you are one also. You are one also. You are an ambassador in the Holy Land, of everything that began, of what it began here, has reached a boy all the way in the neighborhoods of Brazil, and somehow by the grace of God has brought him right here to the Holy Land. And I'm telling you, his will is good. His grace is all, is for all. His grace is sufficient. Grace, the grace of God, is revealed in three areas of our lives. Grace for the race is a grace for your mission. Whatever God gave you to do in his honor for the sake of his kingdom. Then grace for the place. That's the grace for your position. What is it that you have in the world today, in the marketplace today, that gives you the opportunity to be a representative, an ambassador of the kingdom? God has given you grace for that. Grace for that. And then grace for the case. It is grace for your condition. Whatever you are, wherever you're at, your conditions may be against you, but God is giving you grace. But there's types of grace. There's grace to endure it, or there's grace to conquer it. You can conquer it in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The grace of God enables you to go places others cannot, to do things others will not, and experience things others have not. I am here to tell you, witness that this is true. And it's true for you also. And I hope that you are inspired to keep going, to pursue your calling, to pursue your passion, and to not forget that you are a representative of the kingdom in the Holy Land. What a privilege. What a privilege. Give Jesus a strong hand of applause. And to finalize, you know, you're not an evangelist if you don't give somebody a chance to accept Jesus, you know. Because, no, Billy Graham said it's in the Bible, so you have to accept Jesus. But I'd like to extend that opportunity. Maybe you have gone to church wherever you are, wherever you come from, and but never really... You know, this is it. It never clicked to you. But today you feel this warmth inside your spirit. You feel the burn inside of you. You feel a little seed of excitement beginning to rise within you. Let me tell you, that is not the coffee that you drank early today. That is the power of the Holy Spirit within you, bearing witness that you are our agent. You are the representative of this kingdom, and you have the power of the kingdom within you. It is the Spirit of the living God burning inside of you. And I want to encourage you, if this is you, and you'd like to make a profession of faith in the Messiah Jesus, I learned yesterday that the right way to say is Yeshua. If you want to make a profession of faith in the Messiah Yeshua, don't wait until tomorrow. I wish I was born in a Christian family. I wish I was instructed in the ways of a Christian living, but I wasn't. But you know what? Just like I got to Texas as soon as I can, as I could. I got to the kingdom as soon as I could. And I'm not planning on leaving the kingdom any time sooner into eternity. And I hope you're not either. So this is burning inside of you. Let this burn manifests into an action, an expression of faith in him. If you close your eyes right there where you are, I will pray. Father God, I present to you your church in this land. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be here. I present to you, Lord, your church, your people. And Father, I believe your spirit is burning within people in here to make a confession, and to express it with action. That they follow you, they love you, and they want to live for you. And give
all aspects of their lives to you. So, Father, I pray that right now you will empower them with boldness to take a step of faith. Father, and that this moment will not be passed by. And then if they desire, so desire, Lord, let the church see and let the whole world know that you reign in their lives. So right now, Father, I pray that you will bear fruit through your church. And that you will do mighty things in the Holy Land and the world abroad. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is you, if you'd like to make a profession of faith in Jesus, or don't, I'd like to invite you to repeat this prayer with me. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to die on your cross for us. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe he is the Messiah, the promised one. I believe that he's coming back again. And I want to be part of that. So here is my life. Use me. From this day forward, my life no longer belongs to me, but is entirely yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus a hand of applause.